First, here in Wisconsin, we're familiar with the work of many conservationists. Aldo Leopold, Gaylord Nelson, Sigurd Olsen are a few names that pop to mind. But our next guest says there's another name that should be right up there with all of them.
If you've been to a state natural area recently, you've got George Fell to thank. The Rockford, Illinois native was instrumental in the effort to preserve lands too small to qualify as state or national parks. To put that in perspective, consider that Wisconsin now has nearly 700 state natural areas.
While Fell made a big impact on conservation, his story has by and large remained hidden until now, thanks to our next guest, who's written a history of Fell and his efforts to preserve many of the lands that we enjoy today.
Arthur Melville Pearson joins us now. He's the director of the Chicago program at the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation, which helps protect and restore natural lands in the Chicago region. His new book is called Force of Nature, George Fell, founder of the Natural Areas Movement. Arthur, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you guys.
Well, we have this list of names in Wisconsin that we think of when we think of great conservationists, environmentalists, names like Aldo Leopold, Gaylord Nelson, and Sigurd Olsen. But you also say that the name George Fell should be right there at the top of that list. Why?
Well, actually, there's a pretty good connection between Aldo Leopold and George Fell. So George Fell actually had the chance to study with Leopold at the University of Wisconsin, and for a few different reasons, he chose not to do that but study at the University of Michigan. But while he was there, he was an acolyte of Leopold. He read everything that Leopold ever published. In his master's thesis, he quoted Leopold liberally, shall we say. But as Fell moved through his career, there was a critical difference that happened between Leopold and Fell, and that is Leopold felt that all of these small, scattered natural areas that were still left, primarily in the Midwest, that it wasn't possible for the government to protect and preserve them because they were too small and too scattered. George Fell actually felt differently. Leopold even went so far as to say that they were relegated to extinction. But George Fell, through being incredibly tenacious over the course of 20 years, actually helped pass legislation in the state of Illinois to get these lands protected permanently by establishing what was called the Illinois Nature Preserves Commission.
Well, I want to go back a little bit and talk about George Fell's early life. With a lot of the conservationists that we talk about, they have these important childhoods spent in nature where nature becomes almost an imprint on their psyche and who they are and who they become. Did George Fell have that too?
He absolutely did. So George's father was a prominent psychiatrist, but what he most loved to do was to collect plants. He would go on all these plant collecting trips in Winnebago County, which is where they lived in the city of Rockford. So he was an amateur botanist, but highly respected. Matter of fact, he wrote the Flora of Winnebago County, documenting all the plants native to this Illinois county. But he was not, in George's estimation, a very warm or loving father. But when you look back at George's reflections upon his father, you really get the sense that George developed his love for the native plants of Illinois, in part to be close to his dad.
And it sounds as though George in particular loved the Rock River and that area there.
He really did. As a matter of fact, he loved the Rock River so much and he loved his father so much that when his father passed away, without telling anybody, he fought tooth and nail to protect a very rare gravel hill prairie along the Rock River, and it was one of his father's favorite places to botanize. And again, George being tenacious as he was, it took about 10, 15 years to protect the land, but today it's dedicated and protected permanently as the Harlem Hills Nature Preserve along the Rock River.
And George Fell, it sounds like he didn't set out early on to pursue a career in conservation. He, for instance, ended up working in a series of civilian public service camps during World War II. Can you talk about that kind of intermediary time of his life?
Yeah, George, he loved native plants, but he really didn't know what exactly he wanted to do. And back then, in order to be a conservationist, you would typically go to, for instance, the Yale School of Forestry and become a typical forester. There wasn't a way to protect these small lands, and George really didn't know what he wanted to do. And while he was sort of idling away his time, he was actually drafted into World War II. But rather than fighting in World War II, he became a conscientious objector. So he spent nearly the entire war in a series of civilian public service camps. And the work that he did there, first and foremost, was about soil erosion. So that might not sound like a real sexy thing, but that was soon after the Dust Bowl in the 1930s when a lot of farmland was lost because of these swirling winds and poor agricultural practices. So George spent a lot of the war years trying to correct those agricultural practices to restore the land, and he really got to know about doing that during those civilian public service years.
And when did George Fell hit that pivot point where he realized that he was deeply invested in the preservation of natural areas and that that was how he wanted to direct his passion and his energies?
Sure. Well, once he got out of the civilian public service after the war, there was a building boom. And, boy, development just went into hyperdrive everywhere, including Rockford, where George lived. And George would be so disappointed to see these little patches of prairie and wetlands and woodlands just be gobbled up for the next wave of development. So he was, in his own words, appalled by that, and he wanted to do something. But just as importantly, again, not knowing exactly what he was going to do, he happened to meet his wife, or his future wife. So Barbara Garst and he got together, and quickly it became an alliance between the two of them. And they really became this husband and wife team dedicated together to protecting lands. And the day they got married, they actually spent their honeymoon night on one of those gravel hill prairies along the Rock River. So they kind of consummated their wedding, amongst all these beautiful wildflowers. And that kind of just set the stage and set the course for the next 50 years that they worked together to protect all these lands.
We're talking with Arthur Melville Pearson right now. He's the author of Force of Nature, George Fell, founder of the Natural Areas Movement. And let's move on to the policy and the preservation that he and sounds like his wife helped to bring about. So this idea of state-sponsored preservation beyond state parks and forests, how was that idea? How did that go over with policymakers and peers at the time?
Well, at first, not very well. George wanted to save all these small areas, and he began a big push to get legislation passed in the state of Illinois. And he spent several years doing that. But there wasn't the money, there wasn't the political will. He just couldn't turn that corner. And so one of the things that I find so remarkable about George is that rather than stopping there, he actually went to Washington, D.C. and attempted to do on the federal level what he couldn't do on the state level, which, of course, is just exponentially more difficult. And so in D.C., he tried to get a federal bill passed in order to protect lands, and when that failed, then he was also part of a group called the Ecologist Union, and that was a loose band of academics who believed in protecting natural areas but really didn't know how to do it. But he convinced them to transform that organization into the Nature Conservancy. And this is where George really started to shine, because what he insisted upon doing was putting this infrastructure into place to make sure that this, again, loose band of ecologists could grow into a national scale organization. And that's what he did in the Conservancy. He did that for about 10 years, again, putting into place these solid bones, which has allowed the Conservancy to grow into the largest conservation organization in the world today.
Yeah, can you talk about how that those early days of the Nature Conservancy went? How was it structured? How did he build it that it lasted to be the huge organization that it is today?
Well, this was in the early 1950s, and among the things that he put in place was what's described as the Conservancy's vaunted chapter system. There is a chapter in every state in the nation and now across the world. So he was visionary in having this really strong dynamic between having a chapter in every state, which was responsible for the local projects, but then guiding all of those efforts at the national organization. He was also very adept at building a strong membership base, a very large membership base, believing that if you got a lot of people interested and supportive of nature, that would bring in more money, it would get more political support. So those kinds of things he insisted on putting into place. Not everyone agreed with that, which made for some interesting tensions in the early years of the Nature Conservancy. But even after George left the Conservancy, those things stayed in place. And again, they are the foundation upon which the Conservancy has built its great success.
And how did he make the case that these smaller areas were just as worthy of preservation as some of these huge epic landscapes like John Muir was working on in California? How did he get the same attention for, you know, a rock prairie?
Yeah, that was kind of a tough sell, because some of these natural lands were as small as a prairie. Scattered throughout Illinois and some other Midwestern states, for instance, there are pioneer cemeteries. And actually, Aldo Leopold writes about this in a Sand County Almanac. This little, almost forgotten patch of land where native plants have grown up because it was a cemetery that only had a short lifespan. So it's a difficult case to make because it's not the big scenic grandeur. But what George was adept at doing was letting people know that even these small parcels of land contained a wealth of biological diversity, plants and animals. And I liken them to being so many Noah's Arks, especially in Illinois here, upon a sea of corn and soybeans. So in Illinois, you've got 75% of the state, which is pretty much, again, corn and soybeans. But amongst those corn and soybean fields, you have these amazing little arcs of rich biodiversity. You could have 350 prairie plants in a couple acres, and the native birds and mammals and insects that those lands support. Eventually, that actually excited people's imagination, and they supported that. And today, there are 500 nature preserves in Illinois. There's some 600-700 in Wisconsin. It became a really attractive idea for a lot of people.
So if it weren't for George Fell, it sounds as though Illinois and certainly Wisconsin would look a lot different today.
They definitely would. Throughout the Midwest, really. And it's interesting that in the Midwest, where most of the land was gobbled up for farming or development, this is where the natural areas movement really started. It was anchored here in the Midwest. We who had the least, I think most of them appreciated, and certainly George did, that we needed to protect these last bastions of biological diversity. And again, in Illinois, and I use that as a reference point, even though the total amount of land is very small compared, of course, to the size of the state, these little arcs contain a disproportionate number of the rare, threatened, and endangered species in the entire Midwest.
And Arthur, before I let you go, do you think we're going to start to know his name?
Well, I really hope so. George Fell is one of those guys whose name really should be up there with the Aldo Leopolds and the John Muirs. He created an entire movement, an incredibly important chapter in the history of conservation, and part of the reason was to remind us about this, but also to inspire and surface the next George Fell to lead us in new creative dynamic ways for preserving lands far into the future.
Arthur, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Arthur Melville Pearson, author of Force of Nature, George Fell, founder of the Natural Areas Movement.